Perfect. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to the Unscripted Support Podcast. Here today, we have the founder of Tot Shop, Matt. I'm not going to do his introduction. I'll let him do it. But I believe that what he's doing is very meaningful. It helps a lot the community. So, Matt, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Michael. I'm happy to share my story and this random journey we've had into helping people with meal prep on a daily basis. So I couldn't be more grateful for you having me here, and I love what you're doing with the Autism Voyage and just the profound impact that this thing can have.
No, thank you. Thank you so much, man. And it likewise, right? So tell me a little bit about, I would say, about what you're doing, the initiative, how it started. I think it's going to be very beneficial that everybody just hears that story.
Sure. So back in October of 2022, we had a normal day here in Indiana. We took the kids to the zoo. I'm a dad of four, by the way, all under six. So life is chaos. So we took a couple of the kids that we had at the time to the zoo and came home that night, normal dinner. And then Joni, our 14-month-old, became unresponsive at the table. So this is one of those parents' worst nightmare type situations. Luckily, my wife has a medical background. She started doing the Heimlich, trying to get her back into it. She wasn't crying, just completely unresponsive. So I call 911. That's all I knew to do. And we're just in that freak out phase. Got Joni to vomit. And it's about 30 seconds to a minute. I mean, in those times, you're just in shock, like trying to figure out what to do. So after she started to come back to it and cry, we had EMS check her out. Everything ended up okay. But that was a life-changing moment for me. So my background at the time, I was working at Eli Lilly in Indianapolis, and my background's in engineering and project leadership type stuff. Nothing to do with cutlery, nothing to do with knives. But that moment set me off on a path in life that, okay, that happened. I'm going to go try to make mealtime safer for families. And that's where it started with. And then that has since evolved into inadvertently making adaptive devices. So for a wide range of people of all abilities, and I'll be happy to get into that a little bit more. So
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I think that this is a often not talked about topic, you know, because parents, usually when you have a child, in my case, Christian is very picky with what he eats. So Ellie, my wife, just needs to cut everything the way he wants it, or, you know, it becomes a habit of a parent doing things, obviously cutting the food for their child. But it comes to a point that also for those who are trying to be independent and trying to do this, the things themselves, I think having your product it's good, because it you know, for those who are struggling with the grip, you know, OT or any of that motor functioning, I would say skill, it would be highly beneficial to have that. So 100%, that's good. So
yeah.
What are the common challenges you believe that, based on your experience, you've seen that families are facing, or maybe not even, they don't see it as challenges because maybe they don't see it, but what would you say in that respect?
Yeah, the more I look into this and I examine and observe people in the kitchen, there's so much stress, especially after a busy day at work, when you're not only trying to feed your kid, and I can go all sorts of directions with this, but let's just look at the parents' stress during mealtime, right? So if you have a picky eater, you're trying to whip together food. Do you put something in the microwave? Do you cut something up fresh? Do you eat leftovers? You have all these little tiny stresses that can add up. And then you have to, for younger children especially, the parent has to cut the kid's food up into bite-sized pieces. And then you're stressing about the rush. You have a hungry kid screaming for food, tugging at your leg. And this all adds up. And you don't even think about it. It's just one of these things as a parent. This is the way it is. And, you know, I have to use what's available to me in my kitchen to figure this out. And that's been the status quo for a long time. To my knowledge, there's really not a dedicated tool for parents, and we'll get to kids in a minute, but a dedicated tool for parents to help relieve those little stresses, particularly around preparing healthy foods. So fresh foods, you have to prep them. That's just the way it is. So that's, you know, I think that the stress thing can't be overlooked from a parent's perspective. And then we take this into the kid's perspective. So for a kid to enjoy an activity, there's two emotions that matter, and it's dominance and valence. So dominance is how well you're accomplishing the task, and then valence is how fun it is to do it. So when you look at kids' toy tools out there, because and that's a big thing that I'd love to talk about. We can dive in.
Let's do
You
it.
have tools and you have toys. And in kids' kitchenware, they are toys that are acting as tools. But there's really no tool for the kid to accomplish the task with high dominance and high valence. So that's when prototyping the parent set, which I haven't even talked about what we make yet, but it's a knife and cutting board tailored for families. So it's one-handed use. There's a cutting board that keeps food in place. And we can show a video here in a little bit to get a visual for it. But with a child and having a tool that actually works, you maximize those two emotions of dominance and valence. And what's that lead to is the child enjoying something that's healthy for them, which is it's a huge win for parents. And we feel that the market's been missing this opportunity for a long time because they're using toys as tools. Toys don't work well as tools. There's a big difference there. So during this prototyping of the parent version, back to that, my kids were using our 3D printed prototypes. And I realized that there's something about this tool, this rocker type knife, that kids find fun. And they were still able to actually cut foods, even with the plastic one. And then the engineering brain in me tries to understand why. And I dig into this. And the way that rocker knives work, they have a curved blade. So as you push, all that force directly downward is being transferred into the food. So that makes cutting very easy. And the benefit of all that force being down into a single point is that it doesn't even need to be razor sharp to cut food. So one of my favorite foods to have kids test other kids' knives and our kids' knife is a raw potato. And even as adults, like cutting a raw potato in half is pretty difficult, even with a chef knife. You rely on that sharpness. But with a rocker knife, because that force is concentrated, my 4-year-old and my 6-year-old have no problem cutting a raw potato into bite-sized pieces. So when they have a real tool that's not dangerous enough to cut their skin, but it's functional enough to cut food, it comes at that dominance and valence, and it's just this magical emotion that you watch in their face and they light up and you're just like, oh, it's a parent's dream. You're watching the kid actually help. They're not just cutting, strawberries and things. It's like you can make a whole dish of roasted potatoes. So that's the beauty of this rocker type of knife is not only for the sharp version for parents, but for kids, we've optimized that edge to be as sharp as we can go without being likely to cut skin.
That's awesome, man. And so we talked about the parents' perspective, then the child's, but also I would also believe that from a therapist standpoint, I think it would be beneficial, as I mentioned before, because those who are in occupational or physical or trying to help the child by maybe those child that need that help, I would assume that this is a good product for them to also use and implement in those therapy sessions when they're, talking about food or because they help them even pick the food and all that. So I would assume that this could be a potential product that they can incorporate in that therapy session.
Oh yeah, I could talk for hours on this topic. And the funny thing is, when I started, I've never taken an anatomy class in my life. Mine was always like machines. And through the development and through some exposure with our family-oriented parent set, OTs reached out, and they said, "Hey, I don't know if you know this, but you've created an adaptive device." And then, of course, I'm like, "Okay, what's an adaptive device?" And then I just go down this rabbit hole of like, "Oh my, this is different than other food tools that are available in a therapeutic session." So I met with an occupational therapist. Like, you know how entrepreneurship is, you just follow leads and see where they go. So I had somebody say, "Hey, I have a friend at Riley Hospital who's an occupational therapist in Indianapolis, and it's a children's hospital." So I organized a call with her, and after about 10 minutes, she's like, "You need to go to AOTA." I'm like, "Well, what's AOTA?" So AOTA is the Association for Occupational Therapy here in the US. So I call my cousin up, who's on the drive to Philadelphia, and I say, "Hey, I need some help. Do you want to go with me?" So welcome to, startup life. So we go to this expo where there's 8,000 OTs. I know nothing about OT at this point. So day one was all just learning. We had a booth, we had, graphics, and you make all the fun stuff, but knew nothing about OT. And we were really there to just see what happened. So, we probably should have started at an OT like statewide expo, but we decided to just go for it, see what's out there.
US. No, and that's
So,
good.
yeah,
Well,
so at this expo is when we realized like, wow, we thought we were just making this for parents and, traditional family kitchens, but this absolutely has therapeutic applications.
wow. And have you gotten any feedback from them aside from just it? Because it is. I would love to know if there's, if not, those OT who are listening would love to see if they can engage with you, because I truly believe that there is a benefit from it.
Yeah, the feedback was it was often around the highlight of our product lineup for the OTs. The rocker knives are very well known in the space, but our kids' version, that type of edge where there's no sharp points, and the edge itself is this fine balance between dull and sharp. It's not butter knife and it's not steak knife. It's somewhere in between. And that's what they were very intrigued by, that one of the most frustrating things with a lot of rocker knives for therapeutic use are that they're a dull edge. It's like pushing a butter knife through something, and it's not easy. And having the kids in a therapeutic session under supervision, of course, I'll preface with that. At the beginning, of course, they have to, it's a new type of tool, and change can be difficult for some. But through training and through coaching, the initial feedback we've gotten from OTs are that they have several people, whether it's cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, autism, they're cutting things up for the first time independently. And this is what I mean, getting into this space, it's like it is the most motivating and rewarding part of all I'm working on, because you see the benefits of your years long work in someone's life, like right in front of you. So it's just, it's incredible.
Oh it's a beautiful community, and you're just starting, me as well. It's there's a lot of things we can do. So let's talk about, maybe I know you have a video, but I prefer also sometimes talking about the consequences of not having something like this. A lot of sometimes commercials talk about the benefits, but there is a lot of consequences, and even more when you don't know that this could happen, like what the experience you happened from your side. So aside from, the event, the unfortunate event that happened to you, what other consequences do you believe that can, that by not having something like this, consequences the family can face?
Yeah, involving kids in food prep is incredibly important. And there are many studies that show that when your kids help you prepare food, they're more likely to ha build healthy habits the rest of their life. So if you put a lettuce head in front of your child instead of buying prepackaged lettuce and you have them chop it up, they're more likely to eat that food than something prepackaged that's put in front of them.
Okay,
And
true.
there's several articles on PubMed get into this. And from a childhood development, you have these emotions that I talked about, but you also have things like language development. So if you have a recipe that you're working with and following along, and there's verbs and action verbs like chop, rock, place, transfer, they're associating a verb, like this actual physical verb, into something they're doing, and they're doing it independently. So I think the risk of not having a tool that can enable those things to happen, you're missing out on this whole part of childhood development. And you can try to make up for it with sports or different Play-Doh activities and other things. But when it's a daily activity like food, it, to me, what I'm seeing so far is with my own kids, is that it has opened up the picky eater side of them, and they're more interested in trying things because they help make it. So that, yeah, I think that would be one of the things you can definitely miss out on, or a consequence of not having the tool. And that's from, the kid's perspective. The parents have other ones, but yeah, I think a big one is just missing out on some of those creative skill building.
And I think it just creates a safer environment, right, in the kitchen, just by itself. So now I would love to see if we can put the video so viewers can see what it's done, how it looks. Let me see if I can give you the access so you can share the screen. Let me see. Okay.
Is that coming through?
It's yeah, it's well, yeah. Correct.
Okay, so I'll have the volume turned off here, but here's our finger safe knife. So you can see the finger safe edge, a child rubbing their finger across it, and then there's no sharp tips either. So I took a visit to a place called Gigi's Playhouse. It's a center for Down syndrome with locations across the country. And I know you're in Miami. I think there's one in Fort Lauderdale. So there I am, and I'm training them how to use it. And then the teachers are and instructors are helping coach them. So here's a raw potato that I mentioned. Here's a piece of thicker ham. And so right now we're going through that phase of learning, right? So give them about 10 minutes with the tool under supervision. And now don't take this as instruction, but then we start to move into the independency. And so as the video progresses here, we'll get into that. But you can see everybody's going through these different steps, and here's the rocking motion. And that board is concave, and I haven't mentioned that yet, but it's concave to keep that food in place to support that one-handed use. So now we're moving into independency. So here she is chopping up some strawberries, and then this clip is one of my favorites. This shows the finger safe in action, to where his finger was under the blade and he did not get cut. So
Wow.
more fruits and vegetables. These look prettier on camera, but it can also cut most meats. You know, steak it might struggle with, but
Yeah.
chicken and fish and things like that, no problem. So here she's going to be cutting an onion up. Then one thing I haven't mentioned on the board, I don't think the video will show it very well, but there's measuring aids built into the board as well. So you can use that for instruction or bite-sized measurements.
Okay.
So this is Summer. This is one of the last clips here, but I believe Summer has cerebral palsy, and she just exclaimed after she did it. And I'll back that up for a second. So she goes, I did it. And then I look at her and I go, you did it. And she says, yay. And then, you know, I just, on the drive home, I couldn't stop thinking about that moment.
Of
Because this
course.
was, you know, you could see it. She's becoming independent with cutting something as simple as cheese, but
Yeah.
it can be meats and things and bite-sized snacks. And oh, it's just, it
Beautiful.
just, yeah, it warms my heart.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. So what's next for Tacha? You know, do you wanna continue around this same path of just, you know, perfecting the product, or you wanna expand to other products as you go along? Obviously you see more pain points, you get more data. What would you believe will be the next steps?
Yeah, I think down the road in a couple of years, I would want to expand the portfolio, maybe around grips and other types of food related tools. What we found is that this is not just a product for kids, so there's a potential rebrand on the horizon too, to
Okay.
move away from the Tot name, but we'll see. And then a
Yeah.
big part of this is getting a team together, and one of the most important parts of our team that I would add would be a medical advisor to really dive deep into these medical benefits. And then through the federal funding, through the NIH, we can actually apply for grants to show evidence-based outcomes for
Nice.
using tools like this. So I think as far as what's next, we'll keep the product portfolio the same as it is today.
Yeah.
We'll look into digging into the research to show which different health conditions can find the most value out of this, and then have the evidence-based data to back it up.
Nice. I now thinking about it, there's a term called, I believe it's sandwich caregiver. Have you heard about that?
I have not. Educate me.
Yeah. So for example, it's those parents who need to take care, if I'm not mistaken, need to take care of their child that, you know, as a parent, but at the same time they need to take care of their parents. So they're in like in the middle of the sandwich, right? So in I've seen some cases that families that have several children, one can be neurodiverse, but then they're also taking care of their parents that could have dementia, could have, you know, the long-term care side. And I see this also now thinking about it, the product working for both, because my grandfather passed away a couple months ago, and he was like 90 something, and I remember that, you know, these type of conversations, he forgot a lot of stuff, even forgot how to swallow at one point. But these type of, I would say, products, it's like multi-use, right? Depends if there's a need, but obviously I just see it for both use cases.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll piggyback on the personal story here. So shortly after I launched this work, I was moonlighting it at the time. About 3 months in, my mom passed away unexpectedly. And yeah, so I relate to you. My dad hadn't been in the kitchen in years, years, 30, 40 years. I mean, he can make a grilled cheese, but he didn't know his way around a knife at all. So after mom passed and dad had to start independently prepping food, he started using these Top Chop knives. And he's like, "Matt, with my arthritis in my hand, like I choose this over every other knife. It's just so easy. You just push." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, Dad, I didn't think that this project would have, some impact to the kitchen without mom, but it's you're exactly right. It spans age groups. Pretty much every age group out there can benefit from this product, I think, between the two sharpness levels, right? So if you have someone elderly that might have dementia, or you don't want them around sharp points or sharp edges, but you still want them to help out in the kitchen, maybe the safer, finger safe version is a better fit for them, because it still works. It's just not, going to cut a steak as well."
Correct, correct. No, but
Yeah.
100%, 100%. So, for those who want to just check you out, learn a little bit more, where can they find you?
Yeah, so right now we are on totchop.com, totchop.com, and we'll soon be on Amazon. So that's exciting news. Amazon found us and they're like, "Hey, we want you for Black Friday 2025." And we're like, "Hey, this is great. Amazon's knocking." So that'll expand distribution away from just the local warehouse in Fort Wayne, where shipping can take, 5, 6 days to reach somebody, and it'll be through Amazon Prime. So you'll be able to pick it up probably in October, I'm thinking, through Amazon. So we're working hard to make that happen.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Perfect. Well, obviously the links will be below. Well, Matt, thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing. I think we highlighted everything we wanted to for parents. So thank you so much for your time.
You bet, Michael. Thanks for having me, and keep up this awesome work.
Thank you.